C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, November 1st. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. It's been a long 18 months of cats and dogs and kids and nearby leaf blowers distracting people working from home. But now that employees are returning to the office, many face a whole new challenge. Like, how are they going to get any work done?
We're kind of like anxious and weird about going back to the workplace. We don't really know where like the rules and boundaries are. And people are just so starved for socialization that they just want to chat, chat, chat.
That's WSJ Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinsig. Coming up, we'll talk to her about how workers and managers can shield themselves from office distractions and stay productive. That's after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Remember adjusting to working from home? 18 months later, many workers are adjusting all over again to going back to the office. But besides having to wear work clothes and dealing with the commute, many face the daunting task of working amid the distraction of coworkers. Our Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinsig has been talking to career and workplace experts about how to focus in a crowd, and she joins me now. Rachel, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, you know, Rachel, we're talking about noise and distractions in the office, but working from home wasn't exactly like working in a peaceful public library, right?
No, I mean, there were like kids and, you know, people had their spouses suddenly at home. We were in like tight spaces. We didn't, you know, it happened overnight that we were stuck here. Leaf blowers in the suburbs. We had this like great story about people being driven crazy by lawn care. So yeah, it was not this like bastion of peace at home, but I think people kind of got used to it and adjusted. And a lot of people's kids have gone back to school. So now it can be a little bit jarring to head back to the office.
Yeah, so how is this adjustment going back to the office different from when we had to adjust to working from home?
What I'm hearing from my sources is that like people are just so starved for socialization that they just want to like chat, chat, chat. So I think it's like this weird moment, right? Like we're kind of like anxious and weird about going back to the workplace. We don't really know where like the rules and boundaries are, and we're like starved for socialization. I think it's just kind of like this weird mess.
Okay, so no doubt the interruptions can be bothersome and take up valuable time, but you spoke to a lot of career experts who said there are actually positive effects of interruptions?
Yeah, they can really foster connection, which can then lead to like increased job satisfaction, increased well-being, and that's especially true when the interruptions are not just like, oh, can you help me with this project, but when they get a little bit more personal and social. I mean, it is good for us to, mostly good for us, you know, to talk to other humans and to kind of have that connection, and it can smooth things down the line when it comes to work. I mean, you know, a lot of our jobs are not just about checking off, you know, things on our to-do list, but they're about like getting buy-in from people and collaborating and have someone else understand, you know, when you kind of slip up and being able to be honest with people and trust them. And so I think kind of socialization and these interruptions can actually help with that.
Okay, but still people have to get their work done. So how can they gently let their coworkers know, hey, this isn't really a good time to chat without, you know, being too forceful or rude?
Right. It's such a dilemma. What I heard from experts is that you need a signal. So whether that's closing your office door if you have one, or getting a cubicle flag that you can raise when you are heads down with work, or even just putting on headphones, you need something that says I'm working. And then the key is you have to honor that signal. So if someone knocks on your door when it is closed, you have to say to them, you know, I'm busy. Can you please come back when my door is open? So you're kind of reinforcing that the signal means X. And also, like, you have to use these things appropriately. So if your door is just closed all day, that doesn't really mean anything. That's not a signal. You know, you want to aim to kind of balance these things and have periods where you are open to hearing from people and then periods where your head's down.
But how about for a manager who might have a dozen or so people that really need to check in with them throughout the day, but that manager has to get a lot of work done too?
It's so hard for people. And that's when we see, you know, people plunking down at like 10 p.m. at night because it's the only time they have that kind of actual space and like that psychological safety too, where you know you're not going to be interrupted. But one idea that I heard from an expert was to create office hours. So you say to your team, like, I'm available for all your questions and concerns, you know, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 12 to 2. You can also people like share calendars, you know, to try to like, and you can block off some focus time there. But I thought the office hours idea was a good one. I mean, to be fair, managers can also be the problem. I talked to one boss in Washington State and she acknowledged that she is the distraction. She loves to laugh and talk while she works. And she kind of realized that that was distracting people around her. So she started offering, you know, her coworkers who were in kind of an open office space, she started offering them the chance to go to her private office. And sometimes now she has reverted to sending emails instead of just shouting things out across the office. Even though it is easy to do that, she's realized like it's not worth it if it kind of tears some of her staff away from what they're working on.
You know, we've talked a lot of times about how while working from home, your work hours kind of bled into your life at home and people wound up working for too many hours. Well, now that we're back in the office, sounds like this is a big lesson in time management so that you're not working all hours, you know, under fluorescent lights.
I mean, in a way, this is this buffer and this is what the give and take is, right? When you're home, you might be crazy efficient, but it can become a little more transactional. It becomes like you're just, I don't know, just like checking everything off your to-do list, multitasking, and that can drive people crazy too. And at the office, you might be a little less productive in the near term, but you're A, getting that social interaction that makes you feel like more of a human, and B, you actually might be paving the way for kind of better relationships and easier and faster work down the line.
And Rachel, you know, at a lot of places, the physical layout of the office has changed as well. How is that going to impact people's adjustment?
On the one hand, open offices are just kind of a nightmare for getting things done. This was a problem even before the pandemic. On the other hand, things like hot desking, you know, where you don't have an assigned desk anymore and you can just choose a desk. I did have experts tell me that could be good for getting stuff done. You can pick a desk, you know, that is like far away from anyone who knows you and just kind of hunker down and hide there. And I think as companies see offices as more collaboration spaces, some of them will have kind of more outdoor space, cafeteria space, like the things might be a little more fluid than they were before, especially if people are only coming in a few days a week. And again, that can be a good opportunity to just kind of like steal away from everyone and no one can ambush you.
But isn't all this a big test for companies as well? What do experts say companies can do to help ease the transition?
Yeah, it is a big test for companies. And I think some bosses are going to be kind of blindsided, especially at first, like when they find that people maybe aren't quite as productive in the near term. And, you know, some of this is about just rethinking expectations. You know, one manager that I talked to, she's an executive and she said to the rest of her executive team, look, expectations are going to have to change. For example, like people are not going to be available every minute like they were when they were working from home. You should expect that people are not going to like respond instantaneously to that Slack message or email because they're going to be grabbing coffee or chatting with someone, and that's what we want. And so I think a lot of this is about managers kind of rethinking their expectations and being realistic.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinsick. Rachel, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.